Good morning to you. How many of you have your tree up already? Everybody got your tree already? All right. How many of you guys leave your tree up past Christmas Day, day after Christmas? Yeah, we do too. We do. We kind of do the whole 12, well, we don't do the whole 12 days of Christmas, but we kind of use that as kind of a way to keep our tree up and not take it down. I just enjoy the lights, enjoy all of that. So I hope you guys have had a good Thanksgiving. We had a blast this past week just hanging out together. But listen, there's a lot of things happening, especially even today. The Angel Bags, they're getting ready to load up all the last trailer today. So if you've got an opportunity today at 2 o'clock to meet at the warehouse, they will need help loading up that last trailer. So we've got a few more bags. If you helped us the first time a few weeks ago and were part of the Bucket Brigade, they need to do that again. So just FYI, that's coming up. But also, too, this weekend is going to be a busy weekend coming up. We've got, on Friday night, we got Parents Night Out. So if you are a parent that has kids, we want you to know that we want you to bring your kids here. Now, listen, some of you may go, yeah, but you say that's like, you know, 3 years old to fifth grade, and I've got an infant. Well, don't tell anybody else, all right? For our own people, we're gonna be able to handle babies, okay? But for the community, we won't do that as much, right? So, but for own, we're going to do that. So if you've got a little one, we would love to be able to help you so that if you're a parent and you've got little ones, that you can actually get out and just go eat, go whatever, and just have a great time. 6 to 8:30. And that's our time frame. So hopefully that'll give you a chance to get out and good. I understand traffic is getting worse and worse. So hopefully we can help you plan accordingly with all that. But Parents Night Out's coming up Friday night, and then Saturday morning we got the Christmas parade in Lilburn. And so if you've got candy, individually wrapped candies that we can throw out to the crowd, then you can bring it here. Some of you already have. Our bucket's filling up, which is great. But through this week, if you're like, oh, I forgot our candy, I got it sitting on my table, then you give us a call this week here at the office, and you can drop by, bring it here. We'll have it. Or you can tell us, hey, I've got candy, and I'm bringing it to the parade because I'm going to be there. Listen, we also need people to actually walk in the parade. So we're the only ones that have a nativity, so we need wise men and shepherds and all that sort of thing. It's really cool to have that. I love it when we have a good contingency of MC3 walking. We don't throw candy from the float anymore. We have to walk out and kind of throw it at people's feet from far away. That way kids don't come out and try to get candy in from underneath the pickup truck or whatever. So all that's happening this week, that's a lot. It's a lot going on. So encourage you to be a part of all of those things. Today we're starting a new sermon series, Christmas sermon series. And here's the thing. I'm a little inside baseball, right? Let you behind the curtain a little bit, pulling all the levers, that sort of thing. It's the same story. That's funny. The boys and I were talking this week. They're like, Dad, you got a sermon to do? Yeah, I got to do a sermon. You know, it's like doing a book report on the same book every time, right? And so Christmas, how do you retell Christmas in a way that's exciting, kind of gives us something new to think about, but also, too, points attention to Jesus, right? How do we do all that? And so this Christmas season, our hope is, through the sermon series, to be able to do that a little bit. We're just calling it the Christmas Experience. Trying to look through the eyes of those that lived it out a long time ago, right? I ran on this quote. Maybe you've heard this quote before. Maybe you've read her books. But it was Helen Keller in 1957. She wrote a book that was entitled Open Door. And she wrote this famous quote. And so maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've heard variations of it. But it just says this. She says, security is mostly a superstition. It does not exist in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experience it. God himself is not secure. That's an interesting line, isn't it? Having given man dominion over his works, avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. The fearful are caught as often as the bold. Faith alone defends. And then she says this. She writes, faith, or life rather, is either a daring adventure or it's nothing at all. Life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing at all. How many of you have ever viewed your life as a daring adventure that you're on? a daring adventure. I remember years ago, I think it was when The Lord of the Rings had come out, Landon was young, and Landon just kept saying, Dad, I just want to go on an adventure. I just wanted to go on an adventure, right? And so sometimes you kind of go, I don't know, I'm not so sure you know what you're asking about, right? Because when you look at people in the movies and you see their adventures, it's filled with adversity, not just good things, but there's adversity that's there. Sometimes it's good things, but a lot of times it's bad things you got to get through in order to get to the good things on the other side. And so this past week, it's been a good week for the Stansberries, for the most part, right? We've had some adventures happen in our house, which has been great. Last week, Christy was like, you know what I like to do? I'd like to go to the Biltmore. She'd never been to the Biltmore. She said, I'd love to go to the Biltmore. We should go to the Biltmore. I said, well, if you want to go to the Biltmore, we'll go to the Biltmore. And so she was thinking about it. So Sunday, she was thinking, I think we might want to go this week. I said, that's great. We'll go if you want to. She goes, I don't know. I'll think about it. Okay. And so Sunday, afternoon, she's thinking about it. Sunday evening, she's thinking about it. Sunday night, she's thinking about it. And we're thinking about going the next day, right? And so Monday morning, she gets up. She goes, you know what? I don't want to spend the money on it. We'll go later on. I said, okay, no worries. And so, but I went ahead and kind of took that time kind of off. And so I said, well, let's go do other things. And so we did, kind of what we used to do when we were before kids. We went shopping. I went to one of my favorite places. We went grocery shopping. We haven't been grocery shopping forever. Since there's only two of us in the house now, it's like, I'll just go by and pick something up, right? And so we went grocery shopping to my favorite place, Aldi's. I love Aldi's. And so we went to Aldi's, went grocery shopping. We did a little Christmas shopping along the way. Then we went to Sam's. That was a circus. That's fun. And so that was an adventure in and of itself. We had a blast. Hadn't done that together in a long time. Like that. And so then Tuesday comes along and Christy goes, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to go and invite Caleb and Jessica and Maddie, Landon, and let's go to Callaway Gardens, see the Fantasy of Lights. Anybody ever been to Callaway Gardens, see the Fantasy of Lights? Yeah. And if you haven't, it's good. We had a good time. We had a blast doing it. So the Stansberries came over to the house. We all piled into the Highlander and we drove through Atlanta traffic. If you know anything, that's an adventure in and of itself. We went through all that traffic. When we got down to Callaway, Caleb was in the back on GPS. Telling me turn right, turn left, turn right, turn left, turn here, go straight, that sort of thing. And we ended up going to the wrong entrance of the Callaway Gardens. We got lost a little bit, drove through fog. We were on Callaway Gardens property, but there was this fog and this kind of weird, creepy parts of Callaway Garden at night that we'd never been to. It was kind of weird. Then all of a sudden we found the golf course. But that's not where the lights were at. There were no lights there. And so we turned around. We course corrected. We turned around. I was going the wrong direction. They'd say turn right. I was going left. It was weird. And so finally, in our adventure, we made it to Callaway Gardens. And so when we finally made it to our destination, we get out. Some of the ladies had to make a pit stop. I made a stop over at the at hot chocolate area. Got hot chocolate for everybody, and so we were getting in line. We finally made our way to the trolley area, and we're drinking our hot chocolate, having a great time, playing games while we're kind of waiting. Then we get on the trolley, and we're going through, and we see the lights, and we're singing all the Christmas carols and all of that. It was a blast. Had a great time. We get off the trolley, and then we decided to go around to look at some of the other lights that were kind of around, and before we knew it, we're like, man, I'm getting hungry. And it was 10 o'clock at night, and they were shutting down. We're like, well, I guess it's time for us to go. So we got in the car. We thought, well, we'll find a place to go eat. And, of course, we didn't really find a place until we got to 85, and we found a McDonald's, right? The drive-thru was open, thank goodness. And so it's kind of food, right? So we kind of ate. And so we drove through McDonald's. We got, burgers and fries and all that sort of thing, and we ate it on the way home. And then Jessica goes, well, we've still got a 30-minute drive when we get back to your house. And she goes, can we spend the night at your house? We said, absolutely, because they're teachers. They didn't have anything else to do, right? And so they were like, can we spend the night at your house? Absolutely. We crashed on the couch. And so we got home. They crashed on the couch. And so Christy and I lay our heads down on the pillows, right before we went to sleep. And Christy looks over at me. And I'll never forget this. She looked over at me and with a full heart, and she said, it feels good to have everybody under the same roof. Felt really good to have that adventure right there. And so it kind of reminds me of what Helen Keller says, life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing at all. I think how we look at our lives, as if our lives is an adventure or not, is really kind of dependent on us, right? Even the ordinary mundane things that we do, just the regular day-to-day things in life, can be an adventure if they have the right mindset going into it. And so over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to try our best to look at the Christmas story through the eyes of the people that we see in the book of Luke and the book of Matthew, some of the principal characters in the Christmas story. And so our goal is to try to capture as best we can the experience that these particular people had in the role that they played in one of the grandest adventures in all of life. And that was the fact that Jesus is entering into our world, the arrival of the Son of God into our world. And so for many of these key players, it was an adventure, right? They didn't know what was going to happen. We know the rest of the story, and this is where it gets weird, because we read into the story, at least if you're Art Stansberry, I read into the story, like I already know what's going to happen, right? Like, Joseph, calm down, it's going to be okay. Mary, hush, it's going to be all right. Come on, wise men, it's going to be okay. You're going to get there. But these people were going through it. They didn't know. They didn't know what the next step would bring. They didn't know what the next day would bring. They had no clue. They were just living it out, kind of like you and I are living out our lives. God's up in heaven going, dude, it's okay. Calm down. I got this. Wait till you see what I'm building for you here in heaven. Whatever you're going through right now, don't worry about it. But we can't see that, much like the people that were in this story. And so we look at their adventure, and their adventures were fraught with danger and God's protection. It was fraught with fear and faithfulness. It was fraught with things like joy and sorrows, heartache, pain, hard work, traveling great distances, not knowing exactly where they were going, just kind of putting one foot in front of the other, following the Lord, following a star, following what the scriptures say. It had to be an adventure like no other, right? So my hope is that you're like, dude, if you're like Landon, go, man, I just want to go on an adventure. Welcome to life. You're on an adventure right now, right? And maybe it hasn't turned out the way you thought it might turn out when you were little. But that's okay, because at the end of the day, as the Apostle Paul says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's a win-win for us as believers in Christ. What do we have to worry about? Just follow Jesus and enjoy putting one foot in front of the other. And so here we are. We are on a grand adventure like they were back in the day, like we read about in Scripture. We're on a grand adventure with Jesus. We're on a grand adventure with Him. Each day, whether we know it or not, is an adventure with the Lord. It may seem regular, but it may not be. Now, like my days, I mean, for the most part, I was telling the crew earlier, part of ministry and the allure to ministry is the fact that I don't know what's going to happen from day to day. Now, there are certain things that are kind of normal and kind of regular. Mondays, kind of regular. I know when I get up tomorrow, I'm going to go and I'm going to have breakfast with Joshua. Usually Jerry's there and sometimes Leslie. And I'm going to have two eggs over easy and sausage. It's just always going to happen. In fact, I don't have to order anymore. She takes everybody else's order. She looks at me and goes, and she walks on because she knows what I'm going to order. It's going to be the same thing. Then after, when we get together and hang out, and we're going to read a passage of scripture, and we're going to do kind of the same thing as we normally do. And then after that, I'm going to come here and we're going to have staff meeting, and we're going to talk about staff meeting and what's happening for the week and happening down the road and that sort of thing. And yeah, that's kind of regular. But in between, there's all these little things that happen that's kind of fun. And so that's why I enjoy about ministry. And in our lives, it may be the same mundane things. I get roll out of bed and I go to my computer and I go to work, or you go into work, you have to drive. Like if you don't have to have the luxury of working at home, you're driving to work and all that. And you know what? It may be the same thing, but in between, there may be opportunities for some incredible adventures with people. Incredible adventures where you get to have with Jesus. And in my humble opinion, this is exactly, I think, how we should see life. This is how we should live life, as a grand adventure with the Lord that we're on. And I don't know how it's going to end up. I don't know where it's all going to end. But my guess is that your adventure, kind of like my adventure, kind of like the adventure of the people in the scriptures, is probably fraught with fear and faithfulness. It's probably fraught with joys and sadnesses that happen in your life. But there are probably some times that you've had some heartache and pain, where it's been some really hard work, but you've also maybe had an opportunity where you're able to just enjoy and take a breath. Maybe you've experienced what it is like to venture into the unknown, not knowing exactly how things are going to work out. But I think it's important that we realize that life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing at all. A daring adventure or nothing at all. That must have been how the Magi felt when they left, the wise men, when they left out on their journey in search of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to talk about them right off the bat. In Matthew chapter 2, what's interesting is the Magi were not at the regular nativity scene that we see, right? They didn't show up when Jesus was first born. Jesus was probably somewhere between an infant and 2 years old. We don't really know exactly how old he was. But what we're going to try to do here is try to slip into their shoes just a little bit, catch a glimpse of their experience and their journey, and kind of learn from their experience about how we should follow Jesus. So in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who's been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." You ever had a conversation with somebody that they typically start their conversation in the middle of a conversation, right? And you're left to go, wait a minute. And you're like, you're left to try to catch up to what they're talking about. It's like they assume that you already know what they know. And so the whole time that you're talking to them, you're trying to play catch up to where they are and trying to figure out the context of the story, because they're giving you names that you know nothing about, places that you've never been to. And you're like, this doesn't make any sense to me. In some ways, this is Matthew. Matthew just kind of almost as if he starts in the middle of a story. He doesn't give us any context as to who these Magi are. We don't really know how old Jesus is at this point. We don't know exactly where the Magi come from. We have an idea, but we don't really know. We don't know when they started their journey, how long they'd been on this journey to find Jesus, or we don't know what prompted all of this besides seeing a star. They just kind of appear in the story. And they're all just kind of following after this star, trying to find Jesus. That's the idea. They want to see who this Messiah is, and they come to pay honor and homage to them. And so it's kind of left for us trying to figure out kind of how they all fit into the narrative, right, with things. And so who are these Magi that come to look for Jesus? Well, more than likely, they were probably from present-day Iran, called Persia back in the day. Perhaps they even knew about the writings of Daniel. If you know anything about history, like world history, and especially Old Testament history, what happens is the Israelites are conquered by Babylon, and they're taken off to Babylon. And then eventually the Persian Empire takes out the Babylonian Empire and sets up shop in Babylon. At some point in time, they let the Israelites go home. That's where you get the book of Nehemiah and Ezra and all those things. And so they come home and they start rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. They start rebuilding the temple, that sort of thing. And so Daniel was alive in some of that time. And Daniel was a wise man, a wise guy. He was serving the kings of Babylon and then eventually served the kings of Persia and may have been kind of one of these Magi. We don't really know exactly where they came from, but maybe, perhaps, they understood about the prophetic writings of Daniel, which is why they were looking and searching for the Christ child, because they obviously had been looking and searching. And they saw that they obviously had some idea of astrology astronomy, and were able to see the stars, not astrology. You don't want to do astrology. Astronomy, you want to do astrology, no go, right? So, but they obviously knew about the stars, and so they were kind of looking, and then they knew about the prophecies about the King of the Jews, the Messiah, and maybe even knew about what Balaam had said. Remember Balaam from years? A few weeks ago, we talked about Balaam all the way in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. Balaam says this. He was a bad guy, but he said something pretty good. He says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. So whoever these magi were, they seemed to be acquainted with ancient Jewish prophecies, and they were acquainted with the stars and the signs of the times. And so they were so acquainted that they decided, you know what, let's do, let's pack up our camels, donkeys. We don't really know what they did. We don't even know how they got there. They just got there. And they could have walked for all we know, but they decided to set up shop and to go find Jesus. And so if they were from present-day Iran or Persia, it would have been 800 to 900 mile trek all the way to Bethlehem. And they just simply followed this star. They just were following his star, as they say. And if they traveled by camel, it would have taken them roughly about 2 months to get there by camel. Could you imagine what that journey was like? We were just talking earlier about going all the way to Indiana or Ohio and how long that takes. That's like 12 hours. I look at that and go, that's impressive. Oh, no, thank you, right? Could you imagine 2 months, right? You're like, hey, I'm going to go to mom and dad's for Christmas. Let me pack up and leave 2 months before so I could get there on time, right? And so these guys had to pack for the journey, had to pack enough cash, had to pack enough food, had to pack enough clothes and all the things they were going to need, or even possibly need, for the journey ahead. And so they did. That's exactly what they did. Think about how rough their travel was, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but if the ice machine breaks at the Motel 6, I'm a little bit frustrated. Could you imagine what these guys went through, right? Sleeping outside, maybe sleeping in some inns along the way, but yet nonetheless, it would have been hard. And yet, these guys made it all the way from wherever they were at, they were from, to Bethlehem. All this great distance, and they never gave up. They never gave up on finding Jesus. And there's a lesson there for us as we venture with the Lord, as we take this adventure with Him. There's an encouragement there that we not give up. Don't give up in the middle of your grand adventure with the Lord. Don't give up on finding Jesus. Don't give up on being with Jesus. Kind of reminds me of this question. Where has your adventure with the Lord carried you? Where has your adventure with the Lord carried you? To what different places have you been? How many different people have you had an opportunity to talk with? So obviously, it landed you here for a reason and a purpose. Has the journey been tough for you with the Lord? Because I'm going to tell you something, it's not always easy. The adventure is not always easy with Him. My guess is that, like the Magi and like people of old, like probably your life, your adventure with the Lord has been fraught with ups and downs. Maybe you found yourself tired and weary following after the Lord because it's not easy. Maybe you've wanted to give up, throw in the towel, call it quits, and just say, forget about it. But can I encourage you, like the Magi, not to give up in the middle of your adventure? Even though we've never seen what our home looks like, right? And we most of us never get a sneak peek of what heaven is like. Now, maybe there are a few guys like the Apostle Paul and some others that get a chance to see all of this. Most of us have never seen what our home looks like, what it's going to be like. We don't know what it's going to entail. We just know that home's out there, that Jesus is right now preparing a place for us, which is a really cool thing. But here's the thing, when it comes to following after the Lord, here's what we learn from the Magi, is that our journey with the Lord is worth every step. It's worth every step. So don't stop. Don't stop walking with the Lord. And so we find that the Magi, in their following the star, they go to the most logical place where they're going to find a king. They go to Herod, right? Because he's the current king at the time. And so they go to the current king and say, hey, where's the baby that's been born king of the Jews? Because I'm assuming that they thought he was in the back in the cradle, and so they could go and give the gifts. And Herod's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Verse 3 says this, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. There's a new kid on the block. Somebody else is gunning for his job, right? And all Jerusalem with him. And when he called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And it says that when Herod called the Magi secretly, he found out from them the exact time that the star appeared. What's interesting is we don't know. Matthew doesn't divulge that. Maybe Matthew doesn't even know. It says in verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Wink, wink, right? Typically, when we read this story, we hyper-focus on Herod and the fact that he is so disturbed that he will murder all the baby boys in Bethlehem. But what I find interesting here on the positive side of the story is how the Magi, they heard the word of God and they followed it. They went and said, hey, where's this baby that's been born, king of the Jews? And Herod's like, I don't know. Let's call in some experts. They called in the people. They got the scriptures opened. They opened up the scripture and they said, well, it says he was going to be born in Bethlehem. So what did they do? They went to Bethlehem. They followed God's word. There's a lesson in that for us. As we're on this grand adventure in life with the Lord, God's word is our roadmap in following Jesus. It just is. It's our roadmap in following Jesus. If you want to make it home, if you want to make it to the place where Jesus is preparing a place for you, think about that for a second. Preparing a place for you, specifically, kind of interesting, right? If we want to make it to that place, if we want to know how we need to follow the Lord, how we need to get there, then it's through his word. It's through his word. God's word is the roadmap in following Jesus. But we have to follow it. We have to obey it. We have to do what it says. And so this is exactly what the Magi did. They're like, all right, sounds good. And they head toward Jerusalem. And as they do, as they're obeying God's word, then here's what happens in verse 9. It says, after they heard the king, they went on their way. They went that direction. And it says, and the star they had seen when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and they worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. How many of you know that we worship what we value? We worship what we value. The Magi treasured Jesus. They treasured him. They treasured him so much that they sought after him in this grand adventure. They treasured him so much that they gave him some very real and very expensive kingly gifts. They treasured him so much that they actually bowed down to him. They actually worshiped him, which kind of leads us to the question is, how do you treasure Jesus? How do you treasure the Son of God? In this grand adventure of life, who are you seeking after? Who or what are you seeking after? Because we're all seeking after something. We're all seeking after something. We're all heading to some destination somewhere. We just don't know where it all is exactly, right? We're heading to some destination somewhere. Can I encourage you to take a lesson from the Magi to seek Jesus and to treasure him? Seek Jesus and treasure him. They sought after and treasured Jesus so much, they were willing to pack up all their belongings and head that direction to go find him, not knowing how long it would take or when they would be able to get there. They were just following the star. What's interesting is if you fast forward four more chapters into Matthew, we find Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus says these words from the mountaintop. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then he says this in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus really is the treasure that we seek. I mean, he really is. He is worth all the ups and downs that you've been through in this life. He's worth all the joy and sadness that you've been through. He is worth all the heartache and all the pain that you've had to endure from maybe even the people around you. He is worth all the hard work, the sweat, the sleepless nights that you have given him. He is worth everything. He is worth all the fear that you've had to endure, not sure where your story was going to lead. You're walking into the unknown and not sure what's going to happen on the other side. He's worth all of it. He is worth following. He is worth going after. Even when we don't know exactly where it all leads, we just know that we're following him because we trust him, because we care for him, because he's the one that looks like he can get us home. That's why I think that scripture says that Jesus is our great shepherd. John 10:10, he is the great shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. The sheep don't know exactly where they're going. They're hoping to greener pastures, right? They're hoping to still waters. They're hoping to a place where their enemies aren't around them, where there's no wolves and people that are going to, predators that are going to take and eat them, right? They're just following after the shepherd. He calls and they go. And that's us. We just follow after him because he's the only one that knows the way. He's the only one that knows where we're going in this grand adventure. And so your journey with the Lord, I'm telling you, is worth every step. It is worth every step. We may not be able to see it now, but it'll be worth every step of the way when we finally make it to that destination. When I think about an incredible adventure that people have had with the Lord, I mean, there's a lot of people that we could talk about, all in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, but there are two guys. One of them, we know their name. The other one, we don't know his name. And it's after Jesus' resurrection. It's after his crucifixion and after his resurrection. These guys are on this road to Emmaus, right? They're walking away from Jerusalem, and they're walking to this place called Emmaus. And for all they knew, Jesus was dead. That's just what they knew. Jesus had died on the cross, been put in the tomb, and that's all they knew. And so they're walking down the road, kind of walking away. They're in their eyes, their journey was over, right? Their journey had been worthless. It had been for naught because Jesus was dead. More than likely, they were headed home, headed to wherever home was. That's where they were going. Jesus then appears to them out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, Jesus appears, but they don't recognize him. They don't expect him because, well, Jesus just died on a cross. Nobody walks away from a cross. More than the scripture says their faces were downcast. My guess is they were probably kicking rocks, you know, on the way to their destination, disappointed, in despair. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 17, Jesus asked them a simple question. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? In other words, hey, what y'all talking about, guys? What you talking about? And they stood still, it says, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here, there in these days? And they began to tell him all about the events that had taken place as if Jesus didn't know, right? Here's this guy named Jesus. They put him on the cross. He didn't do anything, and he was going to be the Messiah. We thought he was the Messiah. He should have been the Messiah, but nah, here it is. And they start just kind of blah, sharing their, here's my disappointments, sharing with this guy that's kind of walking down the road. But then it says in verse 25 that he said to them, Jesus says to them, how foolish you are. How foolish you are. How slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all scripture concerning himself. And all the time, they had no clue that this was Jesus. They're just walking along with this guy. And as they journey with Jesus on that dusty road, something happened. Their hearts began to change. Mourning turned into dancing. Sadness turned into joy. Hope was reborn. And in fact, Jesus, at one point in time, makes himself known. And as they're excited about Jesus being known, they see Jesus, he's gone just like that. Gone to help someone else out. He was struggling, probably, with what was going on. And I love verse 32. In Luke chapter 24, verse 32, they look at one another and they ask each other a question. were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us? Man, if I had a paper Bible, I would circle on the road. Where are you at in life right now? Dude, you're on the road. You're on the road. You're on an adventure. Man, it should be an incredible adventure. You're on the most grand adventure at all. And here's the thing. If you're following Jesus, if you've repented of your sins and have been baptized, I'm telling you, you're on your way home. You're on the right road. All you got to do is just hang out with Jesus and follow him, and he'll get you there. This is a grand adventure that you're on. You are on the road. It's where these guys were. They were on the road. The only thing is, they were going the wrong way. But once they met Jesus and they felt the impact that Jesus had made on them, they course corrected. They did an about face. In many ways, we might say they repented. That's what repentance means. It means to change your mind, to change your life, to change your direction. One moment I'm going towards sin and I realize, uh-oh, I met Jesus and now my life has changed and now I pivot back to him, right? I'm going the other direction. And that's what happened with these guys. They repented of what I would assume would be their doubts, their disappointments, their despair. And they began walking the other direction back towards Jerusalem, back toward Jesus. Happened to them while they were on the road. You're on the road. You're on a grand adventure. What an incredible thing. What a gift you have been given. What a gift you've been given. I love this time of communion that we're about to head into because it gives us a chance to kind of life 360 ourselves. Usually about 4 o'clock, give or take, my phone goes off because that means that Christy is just around the corner. She's about ready to get home. I may be here, but I'll hear it, you know, bing, or whatever sound goes. There you go, something like that. And so all of a sudden, I go, oh, she's almost there. She's just around the corner, and she's getting ready to pull in our street and then be home, and she'll be safe. I just know it's going to happen. And communion gives us an opportunity to kind of life 360 our own lives, to kind of find out, kind of where do I sit with God? Where am I with him? What do I need to change within myself? If we do communion right, we're able to assess kind of where we are in our grand adventure with Jesus. Some good questions to ask ourselves is this: am I currently walking away from Jesus, or am I walking with him? Is Jesus my treasure? Or is there something or someone else that I treasure more than Jesus? Is there someone or something else that holds that spot? So where are you in your grand adventure with the Lord? Maybe a great question to ask yourself is this: why should I treasure Jesus? Why should I? Well, the answer, quite frankly, it's in these emblems right here. It's in the bread that we partake of. It's in a cup that we drink. We're reminded of Jesus' body and his blood. We're reminded of his sacrifice that he's given to us, the fact that Jesus stepped into our world on a grand adventure for you and for me. He stepped into this world so he would directly go to the cross. That was primary mission number one. Go to the cross, pay for your sin and for mine, all of it, every bit of it. Top to bottom, pay for it all. That was primary mission. He stepped into this grand adventure expecting that was going to happen. And he died on that cross and then rose 3 days later. And so today, you and I have this opportunity to kind of sit back, in some ways like Cleopas and this other guy, and decide, yeah, there's some things I need to course correct. There's some things that I need to do an about face on. I've got some disappointments, some doubts, some sins, and things that I need to repent of. I need to turn and begin to walk closer to the Lord than I ever have before. And so what's the incredible thing about this, and as we head into this sermon series over the next few weeks, is that we get a chance to kind of look at our own life and go, what does my grand adventure look like with God? Because I'm telling you, life is It is. It's a daring adventure, or it's nothing at all. And I just want you to know this. And I'm telling you, I tell you from Scripture, I tell you from just from experience, I'm telling you, our journey with the Lord is worth every step. It's worth every step, every bit of it, which is why here at MC3, our vision is to help people walk one step closer to Jesus. Rome was not built in a day, and so therefore, we just simply put one foot in front of the other and follow after him. You may say, Art, I've done some things I should not have done, and I need to absolutely turn you about face to Jesus. He's there, and he will help you along the way. None of us will ever be where we ought to be, but where we ought to be is with Jesus, and we just do that one step at a time. Landon's going to be right down front. I'm going to ask him to, if you want someone to pray with you, Landon is great. Landon is my son, by the way. He's my youngest. Landon is he's a senior over at Southern, but he's not just a college student. He is, he works in the ministry, the CCF ministry there, encouraging, blessing those types of folks around him, leans heavily into prayer. I encourage you, if you want someone to pray with you, that young man is a great person to have pray with you. I'll be down here as well. If you have never given your life to Christ, if you have never repented, never been baptized, let me just say, don't walk away today without making that happen. That could happen today. In fact, I guarantee you, I would be happy to let Landon get in the water with you right now and have him baptize you, right? I would be happy to do that, no doubt. I'm going to tell you something. It'd be the best decision you ever make. Best decision you ever make. Tables are open in the back. So if you just need to take some time with the Lord and pray and just thank him for what he's done. And maybe it's time to reassess that, you know what, I've been living life like it's mundane. Like I'm getting up, you know, taking a shower, going to work, getting home, eating supper, going to bed, wash and repeat, right? Maybe now's the time to start looking at your life like the adventure that it really is. Because God has called you to an incredibly grand adventure. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that you use us in ministry. You use us in ways that we never think possible. And Lord, we don't have to have gone to college to be a minister in order for that to happen. We just got to be available. We just got to be walking with you. And so, Father, I thank you that you've made life a whole lot more than just wash, rinse, and repeat. You've given us opportunities in the midst of what seems to be mundane and regular things. You give us opportunities to have some incredible adventures with you and with other people. And so, Father, I pray that we would begin to see things with new eyes. No matter what age we are, whether we're starting out and we're in elementary school or whether we've long past been in elementary school and we've been retired for a long time. Doesn't matter. Father, I pray you'd help us to see our life as a daring adventure with you. And so, Father, we thank you for your scripture and for the picture we get from other people like the Magi and these two people, Cleopas and whoever the other person was. And Father, we thank you that we get to be on this adventure with you. Lord, I pray that we would look at some of the things they went through and the way that they treasured you and the way that they walked with you, Father, and that we might emulate those things and do the very things you called us to do so that we can help others see their part and their role that they play in this grand adventure as well. And Father, we thank you that all of it is... none of it would have ever been possible without Jesus stepping into our world, going to the cross and paying for our sins. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you for stepping into this grand adventure, heading right to the cross for us. And we thank you for your power that raised you three days later from the dead. What an incredible thing. Death couldn't hold you. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, as we partake of these emblems today, as we partake of the bread and the cup, may we not only remember what you've done, we want to remember, but Father, may we also thank you for the way that you've taken care of us thus far in our grand adventure. And Father, I pray you'd help us to allow ourselves to be used by you in whatever those next steps are for us. Lord, that we might be an encouragement to the people around us, just as other people around us have been an encouragement to us. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you for your great love and mercy. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.